have to sit down so tight. You can become a little casual and give the Lord a hand. Is that okay? Let's give the Lord a hand. It's amazing to be back here and to share with you and to bring you up to date with what God is doing. It's always a privilege, and I thank Pastor Matt for allowing me to write to him and get the privilege of coming. Like he said, he gets excited when I come, and I'm glad he gets excited because I get excited to just see what God is doing. God is at work. He is doing amazing things, and it's so important that as we continue to serve the Lord in the midst of all the things that are happening, that we let him take us and he uses us in an incredible way to touch the lives of people. And so I want to remind you, I know that Bob mentioned that there is a table back there and there are some prayer cards. And I just want to say thank you for all of you that have been praying for us. But if you want a nice looking picture of my wife, I don't know how nice looking I am, but she does an amazing thing to make me look good. And so please pick up our new prayer card so you can take it with you and actually remember or continue to pray for us. It also may have some updated information on the back. But also I brought my book that was written some years ago, and some of you may already have a copy, but others of you who haven't had an opportunity to understand how God took our ministry. When my dad started, he started with 5 students. And he would often say, in a rented building and with a borrowed missionary, he started Hindustan Bible Institute. Today, we have graduated from the college alone close to about 3,000 young men and women who have graduated and gone all over the world. But our church planters ministry has trained approximately maybe 2,000 people, but 1,200 people who stay with us and are part of a task force that we enable who have planted over 20,000 churches, and 1 million people are worshiping in those churches. Isn't that amazing? And that happened in the last 40 years. But in addition to that, through the mobilization of the Church of Jesus Christ in our country, God said to me, Bobby, you will be doing it, and maybe 3 generations after you will still be doing it, and you'll never get the job done if we do it at the rate at which you're doing. But what I want to do is to be able to take my church. He said, it is my church, and I will build my church. But my church lost its vision, and you caught it. And all I want you to do is to share it with the church. And we started to go to places and pull pastors together in district by district throughout our nation, and gradually we began to give them the vision. How about you reach out to your district and let's see a church planted in every district of India? So for every 1,000 people, there would be a worshiping community. And that was the vision God gave us in 1983. When I came through here, God put a vision in my heart, and I think it may have been in 82 we were driving through, and then we went on to India in 83. And then in 85, the board asked if I would, 84, the board asked if I would become the 3rd director of HBI. But then God put that plant a church for every 1,000 people, so the gospel would become accessible. And at that time, we wanted 1 million churches. And isn't it amazing? It didn't happen by the year 2000. But today, India has 1 million churches in it. Isn't that exciting to know that? They're not all church buildings, and some of them meet in schools, some of them meet in, you know, rented buildings, some of them meet under the trees, some of them meet in homes. But today, there are people that are meeting everywhere. And it's exciting that more people have the knowledge of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ today than 40 years ago. And Katie, I want to say thank you. When I came through the first time, Ron, I didn't even hear his name and didn't even know who he was. And I don't know how he found out who I was, but it was amazing that when we came through, he had already met my dad. And his father knew my father. And then when he heard about me going back, he wanted to be the first person that was going to send me back home so that I can continue the work that my dad had started. And amazing, your church was the largest supporting church at that time. Isn't it amazing? And so I just want to say thank you to you for trusting me. And only today Bob was saying, Bobby, we have a number of people that give over and above what the church gives to you. And I just want to say thank you. I don't know who you are, but I'm thankful. And you've kept us on the field, and thank you for helping us serve the Lord. And it's an amazing thing that God has been doing. And I hope you were encouraged by that, because every time I look at it, I think of myself as the kid that failed his first grade. I think about the kid that failed his fifth grade three times. I think about the kid that failed his 10th grade. And I said, I'm done with education. I'm done. And my dad, he was so disappointed. And then God saved me. When he touched my life and he made it anew and he brought it afresh. And he brought me to study the Word of God. And I traveled with him and I listened to his story. For the first time when I traveled with him, I began to appreciate who he was. I didn't realize how significant he was till I heard him say his story kind of 4 to 5 times a day. I was almost getting worn out, but I heard it every time he went, every location he went. My dad had at least 4 or 5 meetings, and he had to tell everybody the same story over and over and over again. So God said, now you can't say you don't understand it. And so, you know, I traveled with my dad, and I had the privilege. But I really want to thank Pastor Vaughn, because he loved my dad, and his father did. And when they heard about me going back, they decided. And so even before the first church was planted, Katie, you invested in the ministries of HBI, this church planting ministry. Because we went back, and only after we went back, the whole vision of reaching a nation by multiplying churches began. And I just want you to know, I am encouraged, and I'm thankful to you for investing in us and allowing us to go back and be part of that. Now, you know, I've been talking to Bob, and I've been talking to Barry, and I've been talking to Pastor, and I've been saying to him, Pastor, it's time that now you reciprocate and come to India. Don't you think it's a fair thing? Yeah, a lot of people nodding their heads, Pastor. They're ready to send you home, send you to India. But we want you to come. And, you know, every time I just listen to him, God touches my heart, because he loves the Word. He knows the Word, and he teaches the Word. And I'd like to see him come and teach our people, understand how to teach the Word, and to minister to the church so that they hear the Word of God, and then to be able to train some of our church planters and see how these simple guys, not knowing Greek and Hebrew, how God, through the power of his Holy Spirit and his Word, enables them to be pastors, multiplying churches. And so it's amazing. I want you to know that it's time for you guys to reciprocate, okay? I've been here since 1982 or 83, and now I want you all to come. And I said, Pastor, you can bring a team. You can stay on our campus. We have housing facilities that they will feel very, very comfortable. And so none of you will feel like you left home. We made it like that. And so over there, you can come, and together, I see Barry, Barry smiling, so all I need to get is Bob to say yes. And then we are on track. And so please pray for us continuously, and may God continuously use us, and please come and join us and be part of what God is doing in a very intentional way, because it's just beyond my imagination. When I think 40 years ago, that we went back. And when we went back, we didn't even understand what God was saying to us. That time I was talking about 1,000 churches. And everybody thought I was crazy in India. And they would say to me, Bobby, none of us have planted 1,000 churches. There's no way. And today God has added 900,000 churches into the country. It's amazing. You go, you know, in my city, there were only 400 churches when I went back to India in 1983. Today, there are 12,000 churches in our city. Isn't that amazing? God is at work. God is building his church. And God is making the gospel accessible to every man, every woman. But this is not only in India, church. I want you to know that his work is going on globally. If I told you the fastest growing church in the world is not in America or India, but the fastest growing church in the world is in Iran, would you believe that? But that is a true statement. And I want you to put your arms around the fact that God is actually doing some incredible thing. In that Middle East area, they're now beginning to say there are 8 million people that have turned to Jesus Christ. Is God at work? Yeah. Amazing things are happening. So if you think about it, we often say in mission that the final frontier had to become the Islamic world. And now they are responding to the gospel. And I believe we are in those days when we have finally hit the final frontier in mission and we're beginning to penetrate it. In the nation of Malaysia, another Islamic country, the church is growing and they have 1 million followers of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you've heard that Indonesia, even though the government of Indonesia does not like to believe that there are so many Christians, but, you know, there was a lot of missional work that has taken place maybe in the last 70 or 80 years in Indonesia. And today, they say that 20% of Indonesia are become followers of Jesus Christ. That is amazing. That many people, they used to be the largest Islamic country in the world. But now that the church affirms publicly that we are 20% of the nation's population, now India has become the largest Islamic country in the world. And so we've got to be praying that God will break the barriers in India, open the eyes of the people, Islamic people in India, and that his church will begin to grow in India in the same way. I want you to know that India is growing in an unprecedented way, and the church is growing like never before. There are several stories I'd like to share with you before we look into the word, because I want us to recognize that God is at work. He's inviting us to join him, and we need to join him because he is going to finish his mission before some of us get involved in it. But if each of us just think, I want to just bring 3-4 people and disciple them to Jesus Christ, we will finish the Great Commission. And the Great Commission will have a significant impact, not only in our generation, but in the next and the one to follow. But we need to make it happen. And so I want you to understand, in India, there is a movement in a group of people. Some of you may have seen this group of people called the Sikhs. And the Sikhs wear a turban. You know the turban that they wear? That is a people group in themselves. And there are many people groups among that group. But the Sikhs actually came into existence because the founder of Sikhism, Guru Nanak, made the thought, if I can mix all the religions together and have a common book that will talk of all their religions, then you know what? We will have a blended community, and thought he could start Sikhism. And so he put Hinduism into it. He put Islam into it. He put Christianity into it. I don't think he added any of Buddhism, but at least these three major religions are part of his religious thinking. But the Hindu said no. The Christian said no. And so they existed as a community of their own, and they've been growing. But you know what happened recently? The Spirit of God began to work in the hearts of those people, And they themselves rejected Hinduism and Islam, and they embraced Christianity, and now they are the fastest growing church in the nation of India. Isn't that amazing? Amazing things are happening. While they're growing rapidly, I want you to understand there is a church in our nation that has 400,000 people that worship on Sunday alone. And God has been growing that church, and that, I would say he's a pastor. I would say that God has used him in an incredible way. But you know, he teaches the word of God, and he says, if you ask him, why is the church growing? He'll say, I preach the word, and people come to listen to the word, and the church is growing. But can you imagine 400,000 people and a church growing at a rate of about 3,000 people a week? It's just amazing. God is building his church, and his vision is he wants to establish, and he uses this word, 40 mega churches in India. I said, God bless you. Go ahead if God will use you to do that. But you know what? If we can get churches growing like that, coming to the Lord, and people eventually getting discipled into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, it will be an amazing growth in our country. But that's just 400,000 people in one location in India that is growing. But all over India, people are turning to Jesus Christ. In the city that I'm in, as I already said, we went from 400 churches to 12,000 churches in our city. But in the city, we have a church with over 50,000 people that gather together. For until this year, they used to have 13 services in that church, and they had multiple languages. So they had, in addition to the two major languages of English and Tamil, they had other languages, so they had about 120 pastors that used and ministered to the people in that church. And they have now started a stadium with 50,000 people gathering every Sunday. Now the pastor is talking about having multiple services and asking the people in his church to reach out. And they have something like 2,400 cell groups in that church, and the people are growing like you've never seen before. So when you have a church that actually takes the time to incarnate the word of God into the lives of the people, they have no other choice but to grow, because the deeper they go, the wider they go. And the wider they go, the greater the church grows. And so it's amazing to watch what God is doing. There are several churches in our country that have 10,000 people that worship in it, 3,000 people that worship in it, 6,000 people that worship in it. They're just worshiping everywhere throughout our region, and we are thankful to God that he is building his church. Amen? Amen. Oh, yeah? Amen? Yeah. So you know what? Let's make sure that we're all praying that God will continue to build his church, and that we will watch God doing the incredible thing, because he told Peter, right? Peter, whom do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say to him? Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But I want you to understand, upon this confession, I will build my church. So the church is his, and he's the builder. We're just the instruments. And as we become faithful to fulfilling the mission of God, God takes us and he uses us. And so all around the world today, like I said, in Malaysia, in Indonesia, in Singapore, in India, in Iran and the Middle East, the Church of Jesus Christ is growing like never before. And the question that we all have to keep asking ourselves, Lord, if you're giving us this incredible growth, what is my responsibility? And this morning, what I want to talk about is that very subject. How do we become God's most responsible individual to carry out the mission of God? You know, in Matthew chapter 28, Here's Jesus. He's getting ready to go back. You know, his disciples almost threw in the towel. And he had to wake them up and say to them, I came for this purpose. I came to die. I came to go on the cross so that I can absolutely, as Bob was teaching this morning, I was so encouraged by his amazing understanding of truth, but also his commitment to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it was so amazing to see how God in all of history had only one thing in mind, and that is reconciling the world to himself. And he did it in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was affirming that to his disciples. And when he talked to them, and they're still trying to understand it, and I don't think they understood everything, but whatever they understood, even though they traveled with him day after day for 3.5 years, watched him do all these great miracles, and at the end of the day, when God said to Peter, Peter, you're going to deny me, he said, anybody else but not me, and then the cock crows. And then he is reminded, oh my, what happened to me? And then Jesus gathers them together again, and he says, guys, I'm alive. I want you to know that. And he draws them into that and he says, I want you to recognize 5 things this morning that Jesus said to his disciple before God took him up into his presence. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to look at that chapters, not the whole chapter, but those main verses, verses 18 through verses 20, and over here, Jesus Christ said to him, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even unto the ends of this age. Here's my question that I want to share with you this morning. And from this text, I want us to understand 5 specific things. How can we engage with Christ in fulfilling the mission of God to see all nations come into the kingdom of God? You know, when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, he didn't as much speak about the church because the church was not yet formed. He did speak about it, but very little. But what he did speak was about the kingdom of God is at hand. And he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. And he was speaking about this kingdom community that was going to be distinctly different from the people of Israel who were a kingdom community on earth, but forgot the call. As Bob was teaching this morning, I was reminded of the fact that they have forgotten the call and God reopened a new community of people called the called out community, the Church of Jesus Christ. And this church, he was calling them to go and make disciples. And it's so important for us to recognize that what God was forming was a community of people that would confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, become the kingdom community of God on earth, even as it is in heaven, so that they are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, living in the light of God. So we who are in Christ Jesus are living as people who are being transformed day by day, moment by moment, to become like Christ Jesus. And there are 5 things in this passage that Jesus told his disciples that will allow us to become part of building this kingdom community. And it's so important as we begin to think about the mission of God that we ask ourselves, how can we fulfill the mission of Christ and the mission of God so that his mission is being accomplished on earth, and that this community of people are being transforming community that will transform this world and reconcile them to the person of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. So if you look at the text, the first thing I think that Jesus is telling his disciples, okay? He says, I want you to know, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now I want you to understand what God is trying to say over there is, I am sovereign and I have become the sovereign power to accomplish the mission of God so that all peoples of the world will have the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling his disciples, guys, you may understand it, you may not understand it, but I want you to know it, and I'm going to state it to you, but you will certainly know it, because shortly I will go to the presence of God, and when I go to heaven, he will send the Holy Spirit of God, and when he comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses. And it's an amazing statement that Jesus gives his disciples. And they're looking at Jesus, and Jesus says to them, you know, one day you'll go into Jerusalem. Simultaneously, while you are working in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit of God is going to lead you to go into other parts of the world. But you will do it both in Jerusalem and in Judea. And you'll go to the uttermost parts of the world. And when you go to the uttermost parts of the world, you will be my disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts, and my presence will begin to get inculcated as you establish worshiping communities. Did they understand that when he shared that with them? Maybe very, very little, but they didn't understand the concept of the church itself. They were still thinking, you know, we are a kingdom community, a people. But God was saying, I want you to understand, now all authority has been given to me. You know why? I came to this world. I had a purpose. God was intending that his intended purpose of us being the kingdom community has failed. But I have stayed upon the face of this earth and has been without sin. And you know what's going to happen? I came here to accomplish the reconciliation of mankind by offering myself as a living sacrifice to God. And when I went to that cross, I died for all of mankind's sin. And as Bob shared this morning, he was saying past, present, and future. And all of us are people who experience the presence of God in redemption when we understand what Jesus did for us. What did he do? He gave himself, and he's telling his disciples, now I want you to understand, because I didn't fail, because I successfully finished the mission, because I remained pure, because I didn't let Satan try to trip me over and make me fall, I didn't let him tempt me, and I kept him from being an influence upon my life. In fact, I cast him down. Because I did that, you know what has happened? God has given all authority and all power so that I sovereignly rule and reign over the mission of God, not just from this earth, but I am going to heaven. And because all power is given to me and I will be seated at the right hand of the Father, I want you to know that you will have that power to accomplish my mission. And I believe when we begin to recognize the sovereign rule and reign of Jesus Christ over the mission of God, there'll be nothing that can stop us from accomplishing his mission. Amen? It's so important. So I want us to realize, sometimes we think, you know, I'm going out there and I'm going to convert this person and I'm going to reach this person to Jesus Christ. And we think that, you know, I go and this person puts every possible hurdle in the way. He makes it impossible for me and I don't actually get anywhere with them. God is saying, I'm in control. I'm seated on the throne. I have all power and I have all authority. But you need to know that because I have power and authority and I am building my church, if you allow me to work in you, through you, and allow you to touch the lives of others that are around you, we will see people come into an intimate relationship with the Father. And he wanted his disciples to understand that. So he said, it's important you remember my sovereign rule in the mission of my Father in reconciling the world. And when I came to understand that, I no longer began to feel like I was ever defeated. I just did whatever he told me to do. And every time he told me to do something, and I did it, even though it appeared like it was dumb, every time, you know, he said, Bobby, now you think you can reach this nation with 1,000 churches? And I said, well, Lord, they're laughing at me with 1,000 churches. I ain't going to say a single thing about anything more than that. And the Lord said, but we need a church in every village and colony of every town and city of your nation, which is over 600,000 villages. I said, find somebody else. Not me, Lord. And then the Lord wouldn't let me go. But when he finally began to work on us and we began to say the real purpose statement or the vision statement that we had, we said if we were to have a church for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, in every context of our country, every people group of our country, we would need a church for every 1,000 people. And he said, you know what that is, Bobby? 1 million churches, not 600,000. And I said, God, nobody's going to listen to me. They won't. But I will build my church. And all authority has been given to my Son. And if you would put yourself under the authority of the sovereign God, and my Son will work in you and through you, you will see the impossible become possible. Did I believe it? I'll tell you the truth. No, I didn't believe it. But did I become responsible for it? Yes, I became responsible. And every time I took a step of faith, God began to do the impossible. Sometimes when I began to think, you know, I'm going to do it and we're going to make it happen, God will show us that, no, my church is going to make it happen. And you know, one time I thought I would bring everybody together and bring all of them under authority, and we together will go out there and share it. And everybody said to us, leave us alone. We can handle this. You don't need to do it. And God said, Bobby, leave it alone. I will handle it. Just let me work. And the moment I let it go, instead of me trying to do everything and keeping the focus and the vision, God said, you just give them the vision, and Bobby, you will see it happen. And I had to accept God's authority. I had to accept God's power. I had to accept God's rule before I could actually let it go. But then as days went by in my life, and as we began to let it go, and the more we let it go, God began to work through everyone that got the vision. And everywhere inside our country, people were planting churches. Amazing things began to happen. So whether it was in the north, whether it was in the south, whether it was in the east or in the west, we had gone and cast the vision. But now God was working through them, and they were his instruments. And today there's churches everywhere in my country. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. The second thing he says in this passage is, not only all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me, but he says, go therefore and make disciples. Now, I think it's important when we begin to think about the mission of God, that God's mission is not about going. When I was growing up, I always used to hear people say the command of the Great Commission is to go. And then some years later, I heard the people say, you know, the command of the Great Commission is to teach people. Then I would hear some years later, you know, the command is to disciple people. But it wasn't until 1974 in one of the congresses that Billy Graham had organized together that they said this statement, that there's only one imperative in this text, and that one imperative is to go and make disciples of all nations. So make disciples is the actual imperative in this text. And what Jesus was saying, if you want to accomplish his mission, and he was telling his disciples, I want you to understand, guys, that you need to go into the world. You need to actually do all the things that it would take to develop this new movement that is going to unfold. But the most important thing and the only imperative that he puts in that text that time was for them to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Wow. So we began to ask the question, what it is to make disciples? So Lord, help us understand. So he said, Bobby, it's not enough you go preach and that people, you know, sign out a card or lift up their hands or come forward. But you know what? You need to develop people so they're spending time with people. They're working through the life of their challenges in life. And so he said, you train people and you start calling people not just to go out there and preach and make huge gatherings come together and they become followers of Jesus Christ, but never get rooted in truth or my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want you to do is to train people so they're beginning to work. So I began to ask, God, help me understand this. So I said, what I want you to do is to begin. And there was a book that was written about, 21st century disciple making. And that book had four stages. And the first stage was, you need to get people to come and accept who you are. And Jesus took his disciples through these four stages. And the first stage that he took them through was that they had to come and see. And what God began to say to me, Bobby, you want people to come and follow Jesus Christ. Take the time for you to make a relationship with that person. And when you deepen that relationship with that person, that individual is going to talk to you and he's going to walk with you. And one day he's going to trust you enough to say to you, hey, this is my greatest challenge that I am facing. And I need for you to help me. And I've been listening to you. Can Jesus help me do this? And I said, there's nothing too hard for Jesus. And the guy would say, okay, I'll share with you. And he began to share. And slowly, God began to bring incredible things. And every time I got an opportunity to pray with people and pray for them, for God to break into their situation and help them resolve their problem and watch God resolve it, you know what? They begin to see Jesus. They began to see Jesus. And so the first step when you're making a disciple for Jesus Christ, and God wants us and he commands us to make that disciple. So it is an imperative and we should be making disciples and we need to be asking ourselves the question, who am I discipling right now? And how am I bringing that person into intimacy with God? What is it that is I'm doing that's helping them to see Jesus? And when they see Jesus, they'll come to the next phase in their life to say, tell me more about him so that I can follow him. And when Jesus called his disciples and they saw him do the miracles and they saw him accomplish the things that were impossible, then they saw him turn water into wine, they began to follow Jesus. And when they began to, Jesus said, will you lay down your nets and follow me? They put their nets down, they left their families, and they left their occupation. And I'm not saying that you're going to do that. Don't get scared. But they got up and they followed Jesus. And they went wherever Jesus went. And when you make a disciple, there'll be people that you'll be working with. Once you've built the relationship and they begin to see Jesus, they will begin to make time to go with you. And when they go with you, you'll open. I used to use the book, Purpose-Driven Life. If it is a really a non-Christian who refuse to actually look at the Bible. But if he comes from a Christian background, I would disciple them with the word. But I would start with purpose-driven life, because it always said you're a very special purpose. You're not an accident. God had a plan for your life, and they want to know what this plan is, and they would read it. But, you know, Rick Warren put so much of scripture into that book that they soon begin to read scripture, and they want to know where it came from, and they discover it's from the word. And for me to transition from purpose-driven life into the word of God and disciple them to Jesus Christ, we begin to study the word together. And guys, what happens in our journey to make a disciple for Jesus Christ, don't start off, if you were to die today and if you were to stand in the presence of God and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my kingdom? Don't start there. They'll immediately run away from you. Start off by saying, hey, how can we walk together? How can we develop a relationship? How can we become friends? And bring them to a place in their life where they're willing to actually trust you enough, because they know you're not trying to convert them, but they may not know that you're trying to disciple them. But in the process, you will break some barriers, because you first become their friend and they trust in you. And then they begin to trust in Jesus Christ because you pray for them, and God does a miracle because you prayed. And all of a sudden, they're ready to study the word of God because you have begun to quote the word of God. And I tell you, if you are meeting with Indians and you're meeting with Muslims and people from different communities in this area, you may want to start with Purpose-Driven Life or some other book like that that would cause them and be willing for them to read the book and walk with you for maybe 40 days. And in those 40 days, they will begin to understand that the Bible is the Word of God. And then you open the Word of God and you begin to allow them. But Jesus said, come and see, follow me. And the third thing he said was, be with me. And disciples making is about being with people and spending time. And Jesus only spent time with 12 guys. Don't try and have 400,000 people following. I believe 5 people, and you'll make the Lord rejoice in you. And those 5 people will come to know Jesus Christ. But those 5 will multiply, and you'll become 10. And the 10 will multiply, and you'll become actually 20, until you become to influence people beyond your imagination. Because what God will begin to do is to grow his family under that structure, and that structure will deeply get rooted in the Word of God. And because you spend time in the Word with them, they'll come to the fourth stage, and that fourth stage is to remain in Christ Jesus. So there are 4 stages in disciple making. First is to invite them to come and see. The second is to spend time with them so they follow you. The third is to listen to the truth by studying the Word of God. And once they catch a hold of the Word of God, your job is to take them and connect them to Jesus Christ. I am the vine and you're the branches. And if you stay remain in me, you will bear much fruit. And the church begins to grow, and the body begins to grow, and the disciples begin to grow, and the disciple makers begin to grow. And all of a sudden, we begin to see transformation in the midst of community. But no discipleship, no transformation. No transformation, no visibility of Jesus Christ. No visibility of Jesus Christ. People remain in darkness. And it's so important when we think about what God is doing, we ask ourselves, Lord, how do we do it? Don't get frightened. I'll move through the next 3 points fast so your food won't get burned up, okay? But the next point that I want you to understand is God not only commanded us to do the Great Commission, but he focused on the extent of the command. He said, I want you to make disciples of all peoples, all nations, all ethnic. And it's important for us to look at that word, because what God wants us to do, if we are going to fulfill the mission of God, we need to realize that we're living in a time when God is actually bringing the world to us in America. And he's also bringing many people from different ethnic groups from all over the world. And before we get them sent back to the to their nation where they came from, maybe a few of us will get a hold of a number of them and help them to see Jesus. Invite them, come and see. Invite them to actually follow you. And maybe in the next 3 to 6 months, you'll disciple them. And then maybe you'll send them back home. And when they go back home, they'll become God's great instrument to reach their people in their country to fulfill the mission of God. Isn't that amazing if that happens? And that's why God is saying, don't restrict yourself to your own people. It may be easy, but God is saying, go to all the peoples of the world. And I want to encourage you, as you think about making disciples, while you may make a few that are from your own community, ask yourself, God, how can I be part of fulfilling your great commission by crossing my boundaries, entering into other people groups, reaching out to people who cannot hardly speak the language, help them to know that Jesus loves them, help them to come into a relationship with yourself, and then into a relationship with Jesus Christ, because they see Christ in us. And when they begin to see, then they will begin to say, hey, this man is not all about himself. He's not all about converting me, but he really cares about me. And I begin to trust him. And in that moment of trust, you begin a journey of discipleship. But go beyond your ethnic community. Cross the barriers and ask God to help you, because he said, all authority and all power has been given unto me. He is sovereignly in control, and he is going to make it happen when we trust in him absolutely and become obedient, not just to share the gospel, but to make disciples. And we make disciples of all nations, all people groups, either by sending your missionaries or by reaching out to these people that God is bringing, or by intentionally identifying the lost and saying, Lord, I want to serve you and make disciples of all peoples. So suddenly, Katy will become a city filled with people that love Jesus Christ, that are living for Jesus Christ, that know Jesus Christ, that are no longer overcome by darkness, but are being overcome by the power of Jesus Christ living in them and his word living through them, because darkness is gone and the marvelous light has come in. The next thing that he says, focus on the extent of the command. And the extent of the command is, sorry, that's what we just talked about. The fourth one is to enable the process of the Great Commission. And that processes while you're going, while you're preaching, while you're baptizing, make disciples. So this process will not take place until you and I make a choice and a decision. We've said all people are our responsibility. So now we're saying another responsibility is that we have to step out and go. And you know, those three were participles that are there gain a sense of imperativeness, not by themselves, but because of the imperative, the make disciples. You cannot make disciples without going. And so God is commanding us to go by relating those participles to the command. He's commanding us to absolutely to teach them all things that he had commanded them to observe. And then he's telling them, I want you to baptize them. So they identify themselves with this new community of people who are being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the last thing he says, embrace the continuing presence of Christ. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this age. Bob said so many things this morning that were part of my message, but he almost talked about the concept of dispensationalism. And he said, you know, that this time ended and a new period has ended and we are part of this age. And it's so important for us as the Church of Jesus Christ to recognize all through this suspended time of the 70th week, the Church of Jesus Christ has the privilege and the opportunity to work with the presence of God to go into all the world and make disciples. Because he says, lo, I am with you always. 24/7. Can you imagine God being with us? That is an amazing experience. And again, Bob, you said it. You said it. As you mature in Jesus Christ, you begin to experience that 24/7. And it's a wonderful joy of knowing God is with us. And friends, I want you to understand, he's given us a great commission. But if this great commission is going to be accomplished, we need to say to ourselves, God is at work. I want to join him. And whether it be here in Katy or anywhere in the world, as we support missionaries, send missionaries, go as missionaries, but we take it serious, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and we say, Lord, I want to be a disciple maker. And realize his authority and his power is ours. And we make disciples. And we work to the point that they make a covenant with God and say to God, God, I want to be under your authority, under your word. I want to be transformed. I want to be a new creation. And I want to confess it to this world by being baptized because somebody took the effort to disciple me because they went, they taught, and now I want to live and multiply and bear same fruit. And God says, I'll be with you. The question is, am I ready to accomplish what God wants to do with my life? Here at Katy and anywhere in this world. Amen? Amen? All right, I'm going to turn it loose to the pastor and I'm going to let him close for me. And I trust that God will use you to reach Katy.
Just as a reminder, and if you would like to participate in helping with the project of the Education Center there at HBI, then you can either give through Zelle, as always, and in the subject line there, just put HBI or Bobby Gupta. As Robert said, make it hard on Josh. Give him some extra work. By all means do that. Or there are books and prayer cards over in the Hole in the Wall Connection Center, however you want to refer to it, across the hall over there. Take a book. Leave a donation, for the book, or don't, if you will read it either way. But make use of those and the prayer cards to be praying for Bobby and Lynette and their work. All right. Well, let me pray, and then Austin's going to come and lead us in. Is there something else? No? Okay. I saw a gesture. I couldn't see what it was. So let me pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much for your love and for your work and for involving us in it. We thank you for Bobby and Lynette and for Hindustan Bible Institute and all those who are involved with their work and for just the incredible work that you're doing through them in India and all across the globe. Father, we pray that you would continue to do your work and that as we have been instructed to pray, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for the involvement. Let us be faithful servants to go and to fulfill the commission that you've given us. And let us continue to do that in the full assurance that you are with us always and that our success is guaranteed as the kingdom continues to grow to the fullness of its number. We pray all these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.